chest. It all fucking sucks. But I'd rather use muscle.
Earl.
Chase, what's going on, man?
Not much.
Long time, man. It's been a while. It's been like almost 4 years, I believe, if I can recall it.
Yeah, I was definitely a younger man back then. You know, it's been a good 3 years or so.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a long time, man. How you been?
I've been great. How are you doing?
You know me, man. I'm a ultimate hustler. You know me, dealing with three jobs at one time, but a hustler never gets tired. Kevin Gates will say, he said he got six jobs, he don't get tired. If I got three, I don't get tired in certain ways. If I do, I might be, but I never stop grinding.
Oh, that's what's up, man. Got to chase that bag.
Oh, yeah. But let's end up get down to this whole situation. Talking about the NBA playoffs, talking about which, and I just watched Memphis and the Warriors. What else I watched? I also watched the earlier game between the Celtics and the Knicks, which, I watched two early games, and those two games went down almost damn near to the wire. The Celtics almost made the Knicks about to be a six-seed team. After the Knicks and the Blue, a 21-point lead in the second half.
Yeah, man, this especially today and this weekend, man, it's a weird time in NBA. You know, you got some teams getting ready for the playoffs. Some teams out there resting their star players, man. It's so different from a game-to-game basis because, you know, some of them teams, they already called it in for the year. You know, they're eliminated. They ain't got nothing to play for. And then you got, you know, all these battles today with, like, for example, the Grizzlies and the Warriors, man, they're playing for the 8th seed, and they happen to be playing on the last day of the year. It's some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it was some cool stuff. But I was like this. I was thinking, and then I was like this. This is like the second time. This is the second time I didn't see the Memphis Grizzlies who fought a team who was a team that was winning multiple championships. This is the second time I seen them fought a team that had a championship team. I seen them fought Portland last year. And I thought they had the Trailblazers at the end of the rope. But I realized what happened in that result ended it real fast. After today, I cut the last bit of the last, what, 2 to 3 minutes left. Steph and the torch of the doggone Grizzlies hitting 44 points and hit the game dagger. That was it. That was it. I couldn't finish it. Chase, if you saw how he, don't give me the wrong impression, he might have took too many attempts on threes, and I give him congrats because he won the scoring champ. He won the scoring title this year. All he needed was 3 points just to end up to get the scoring title. I applaud him. He worked his way into the whole situation. My thing was, after he didn't score 44 points, I cut the game off right there. What was your thought and knowledge of this? And how do you feel about the whole play-in tournament is coming in this week?
Man, it's intriguing for sure. So there's two different, you know, sort of mindsets or, you know, thought processes about that play-in tournament. You know, it's that the regular season sort of gets devalued a little bit because all them teams that battle so hard to be in the top eight, you know, it's sort of out the window. But then I also like the fact that, you know, it also prevents teams from tanking and stuff like that that are towards the bottom of the conference because they got something to play for now. So I do like that aspect. Like, for example, just switching teams here for a second, the Washington Wizards, man, I don't know if you've been watching what Russ and, you know, Bill and all them been doing, but, man, they came from, like, 12th to – now they're in 8th in the East. So, like, for example, you know, that gave them something to play for and it gave them hope. So yeah. I definitely like the thought process of it. I don't know. I guess we'll see how it plays out this week, but I definitely think it's a positive.
Right. Because here's how I seen it from the regulation. And I knew at some point, that, you know, Russ and them was going to make this whole playoff situation. I was trying to figure where did the chemistry go between Russ and Bradley Beal. I was trying to figure that part out and where all of everything fell in place at. How you look at it from them for being the 12th, from they was going from 12, which and that's an automatic elimination, to now end up playing in a 7-8 game. Because right now, you might as well say this right now, either way it goes, that the because we got a 7-8 seed game in the East is already set between Boston and Washington. And the way how the Boston Celtics are end up banged up with Jaylen Brown is going to be out for the remainder of the year, and he's end up going to be out for at least, they said 3 months until basketball activities. And Jason Tatum could do so much as a player. He only could do so much to carry the team. And from my honest opinion, if you end up want this, the Boston Celtics really, really regress. They regress real, real hard this year. Because ever since you got the acquisition of Kemba Walker, Kemba Walker has not been the same, because I felt that the career that he had in Charlotte, he was in that team for too long. He should have been left them at his prime. He would have been prime Kemba Walker. But he kind of lost his step in the consistency. He lost his consistency when he started playing. And I kept saying, and I said, there's the issue. If it's not coaching, it could be the general manager himself. How many times all of us kept saying that the Boston Celtics end up need physical size? How many times I initiate this? I've been initiating that to the Boston Celtics for 4 of those years. I kept saying this. I said this over and over and over. Nobody doesn't like to buy what they say. You had enough shooters. You needed big guys. You needed big men. Without any typical big men, you're not going to get that far in the postseason. You're really not. Did you see how far the Lakers end up got? Really, Anthony Davis end up using his size as a disadvantage to every team. Yep. Every team did not have size. Portland might have thought they had size, but they didn't know how to use them. Who was another team that didn't know how to use their size? The Houston Rockets really didn't have no size because they played small. Yeah. Too quickly. Davis took an advantage over that. What else? I give the Denver Nuggets at some critical point for making that far to the conference finals. Miami, I give them the utmost high respect because the way that they play, at each other right then and there, you might as well say, you know, it's a conspiracy that everybody end up saying the Miami should have never been at the NBA fight. They weren't even supposed to go that far. But the way Jimmy Butler, a.k.a. Jimmy Buckets, took them all the way up to that high level, he showed them that anything was possible for them to make it that way.
And you know what? This year, you know, they made it all the way last year, and then this year you hear nobody talking about them. It's all the talk in the East is about, you know, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kyrie, the Bucks, all of them up there. Everybody's counting. They're sleeping on the Heat right now, I feel like.
Well, the Heat had their own moments and tribulations, if you end up asking me on that one. And let me end up jump into another subject here that I may ask, and we gonna jump right into this, and I want to ask for your predictions for the I want to end up asking you for your predictions for about What was your reaction about the whole Aaron Rodgers situation, about him not end up saying he does not want to come back to the team? I wanted to hear from your thoughts.
No, man, it's crazy. But I mean, I see where he's coming from. You know, they made it all the way last year. They lose to the Buccaneers on, you know, some questionable play calling to kick a field goal, you know, at the end of that game, instead of letting A-Rod try to tie the game there. So that was sort of questionable. But one thing, I feel like the Packers, their front office has sort of failed him. They have not drafted anyone on the offensive side of the ball in the first. So, I mean, they yeah, I get that. But, you know, I don't know, man. They got some solid backs, but I guess he's just not happy up there anymore, man. He's frustrated with, I guess, the coaching staff, the front office, everything, man. He's ready for a move.
It's easy to end up being saying, and I was like, he was disrupting. And every other quarterback should end up being disrupting. You talk about a guy who end up who's coming off of an MVP season.
You talk about a guy who end up just coming off of one of his best MVP seasons, and the next thing you notice from singly on hand, and let's be real on this one, Chase. Let's end up be real on this whole situation, on this actual day of May 16, 2021 at 8:15 p.m. Central Time. How many times has Aaron Rodgers came to the organization, came to the general manager, don't even have a president, don't even have a team president, if I ever mention that. How many times has Aaron Rodgers been asking to have a better offensive line and at least a couple of wide receivers throughout his career?
No, I mean, you got a great point there. They have not, like I said, man, they have not drafted him any help in the first round, in the first few rounds, really. They have just, I mean, they, like, some solid backs. They have Devontae. Obviously, that's not enough for A-Rod, man. He's frustrated with his O-line. He's frustrated with the coaching staff. He's frustrated. So, but, I mean, my question to you, if you're Aaron Rodgers and you're going to leave the Green Bay Packers, a team that you just made a deep playoff run with, what options are there out there that you think you can, you know, advance any further? I mean, I've heard the Denver Broncos a few times. I've heard maybe the Raiders with John Gruden. Where do you think you know, he could maybe be a decent fit?
My decent thing is, I would have said he might have been a good, decent fit to, damn. I mean, there's more than just between the Oakland Raiders and, well, I shouldn't say the Oakland Raiders. Oh, yeah. They're now Las Vegas now.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a difference with the Raiders, the Broncos. I kind of heard mentioning the Saints, which I'm actually a Saints fan for any given reason. I heard the mention of the Saints in any other way or form, shape, or fashion, and all this other stuff. If you ask me where's a better fit for him to go at, I will say that he would have been a better fit for the Denver Broncos. Reason saying that is, you would have had a better offensive line, you had some type of decency on the defensive side, which in it gives you a chance to reiterate everything to the players and everything else, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You could be that veteran guy that you can end up teach Drew Locke and all these other players, and so does Teddy Bridgewater, which in now I realize that Teddy Bridgewater is in Denver because Carolina had traded him after last year. Which I felt that the Carolina Panthers didn't even give Teddy no kind of chance. And I always will say this, and I'm going to say this to the very initiative until I can't get this guy to come back here. Teddy Bridgewater can come back to the New Orleans Saints whenever he chooses to. New Orleans will always have an open door policy for him. every other team is then they're just going to keep throwing them away, throwing them away. What if the Denver Broncos keep throwing them away at his career?
Well, I mean, he's definitely a solid option. I see what they're doing. You know, they decided to give Sam Darnold a chance, so we'll see how that works out.
If I'm saying nobody didn't make any of this decision but Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule just didn't know how to utilize Teddy. He did not know how to utilize Teddy because, for one, Teddy did not have no receivers.
Yeah.
He didn't have no acquisition receivers. He did not end up having the second gadget guy, Christian McCaffrey, because McCaffrey was battling injuries all year round. He was battling injuries all year round. It was a typical year. This past football season, it was a typical year that people was in them was battling injuries. Yep. San Francisco's defense was banged up. I seen like no more than two or three of their defensive players went down on ACLs. Too many. Saquon Barkley went down. So on his ACL, MCL. I'm like, how many injuries was I seeing in a day?
Yeah, your guy Michael Thomas was banged up too.
Yes, Michael. Yes. Actual top receiver, and then went down on a high ankle sprain, which even was more into the high ankle sprain that he was ending up had. And Drew Brees, which in thank goodness he saved the city of New Orleans in every other way that is possible ability in any other way, form, shape, or fashion, after he only was in the league for 20-something years, 15 of those years he played for New Orleans. And nobody didn't think, we all knew all about the broken ribs and the collapsed lung and all that other stuff here. But my only observation in the situation was nobody ended up didn't say that Drew Brees had an issue with a rotator cuff. Nobody didn't say anything. Nobody didn't even know that it was his rotator cuff. Nobody didn't think of this, Chase. And the most part, this was the most thing that will make me laugh out of this situation. And how many blown leads did the Falcons end up blowing this year? My only three I can remember was they blown a huge lead against Dallas, you blown a huge lead against Seattle, and you end up blowing a huge lead in Chicago. How many of those huge leads did y'all blow away?
It's crazy. Ever since they blew that lead to the Patriots in the Super Bowl, it's sort of been like that's been their team motto. Like, no leads. So, I am interested to see how Kyle Pitts plays out. Julio can come back this year. They're definitely a team to keep an eye on.
Here's the thing. This is the part where I feel sorry for Kyle Pitts at. Matt Ryan has not been the same guy. Matt Ryan is at the point of his career. There is going to be emphasis point that the Atlanta Falcons is going to get rid of Julio Jones. There are emphasis points. Matt Ryan have all this talent. If I said he have all this talent, all in front of him, you obviously end up telling me that Arthur Blake, the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, has initially wasted millions of dollars on you. Millions. You were supposed to have been a $100 million quarterback. That means you was getting paid $20 million a year. $20 million a year. You mean to end up telling me you couldn't even get this team to be back in a playoff hunt after that Super Bowl loss? Because the last time I did the research and I did the mathematics on them, and I did the mathematics on both between the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers, none of those two has not won a Super Bowl in damn near 100 years. Damn near 100 years. Both of them are 0-2. For what reason? For what other obligations? I kept saying this, and I'm going to say it like this. The Atlanta Falcons has become a dumpster fire ever since. But everybody wants to talk about us. You might as well say that the New Orleans Saints was the most hated team in the NFC South. Don't get mad with us because y'all didn't know how to hang before the NFC South was even existed when y'all was with us in the NFC West. Because if you remember this, Chase, back then, somewhere in the early 2000s something, in the NFC West, there was a five-team division race. There was Seattle, there was San Francisco, there was St. Louis, who are now the LA Rams. Then there was us, and then there was Atlanta. My only thing was they said nobody couldn't hang, Atlanta could not hang with those certain teams because between them, the Niners, and the Rams were physical teams. We knew how to deal with those typical situations, but the obligations to those was they had different game plan schemes. And the way how the Falcons ain't doing this, they might utilize Kyle Pitts, but let's end up all be real. There's going to be a point, and I hate to say it, that Kyle Pitts' career in Atlanta could be screwed before his career can even get started.
No, not to mention, you know, they got him. They still got Calvin Ridley, who's still a crazy talented young receiver. So
crazy talented receiver.
So this year, man, this is the year. If Matt Ryan, if he can't, I think this is, you know, this is going to be his telling year. If he can't perform with that talent surrounding him, they definitely got to cut their losses.
Oh. Let him go.
Got to, for sure. No question.
Let him go because you have to alliterate certain things right then and there at some narratives. At the narrative of every doggone thing else, everybody has been giving Matt Ryan the ample opportunity, the benefit of a doubt, saying that he could make this team work. How you can make this team work if you didn't blow over so many leads that y'all didn't blow? Because if I go on, I'm going to say it like this, and I'm going to go on this whole, and I'm going to go on the ESPN app, and I'm going to go back to last season. How many leads did the Atlanta Falcons initially blown last season? It will literally tell you.
No, it was crazy.
It literally tells you everything else.
Yeah, that's definitely a narrative they are looking to change. I mean, and to be fair, you can't put – I know Matt Ryan, he was definitely disappointing last year, but their defense, man, it is also not very good. So they got to fix some things on both sides of the ball for sure.
Because in all total sanity, in all fairness, what would it take for the Falcons to realize, to understand the narrative of what if?
Yeah.
What if? Because nobody is not going to say it.
That's true.
Because if you end up think about this here, and I'm going to say it like how Stephen A. Smith was, and I will say this right then and there, but just for the full disclosure of everything else here, you have to end up saying to the initiative and to everybody else, you have to put in the work. And if you cannot end up initially putting in the work, why are you getting paid over $20-something million a year? Why are you getting paid at this rate? You shouldn't even be the doggone quarterback as of right now. Just like the Green Bay Packers right now. Green Bay didn't end up Falcons out just yesterday. Either yesterday or the day before yesterday. Tell me why the Green Bay Packers end up signing a quarterback named Kurt something from the practice, when he wasn't with the Falcons all practice squad team. And then you end up signing Blake Bortles. Why would y'all sign two other quarterbacks in place because y'all know Aaron Rodgers is not about to come back. I don't even think Aaron Rodgers is not even going to play the first game of the season. Let's scratch that right now. Let's, like, scratch that, Chase, because he already said this to the general manager. He already said this to the head coach. He's not coming back. And this is how I know all about the history. Brett Favre and the legendary Bart Starr, none of them has never played over past 17 seasons with the Packers. All three quarterbacks played 16 seasons. None of them has played over past or finished their careers there.
It's crazy how the numbers, they line up like that sometimes. It's crazy,
they
man.
They line up like that.
It's definitely strange for sure, but yeah, man, that situation, we'll learn some more about it in the coming weeks. I got a good idea or a good feeling about it anyways, because I know their coach, which, I mean, obviously he's smart to say this. His name, LaFleur.
LaFleur. You mean LaFleur, the man that ended up in blowing back-to-back conference championship games?
Yeah. he came out this week.
I got to Aaron Rodgers, too.
Yeah.
I got to fault Aaron Rodgers, too, because Aaron Rodgers has blown four conference championship games in his career.
Yes.
He blown a conference championship game against the Falcons back in 2016. You had an ample revenge opportunity to end up to get to a conference championship against Seattle. You didn't blow multiple chances with San Francisco because you let San Francisco stomp y'all 37-8 last year. And then when y'all met them again this year,
yeah,
y'all let a running back named Raheem Mostert chalk up a record-breaking day for most rushing yards in a conference championship game. I believe this dude ran over, I think, for 225 in that game. He might have had over 225-some yards and about 3-4 touchdowns. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have to do nothing that whole season. Jimmy Garoppolo probably only had to throw the ball. Let me see. The most times he ended up having to throw the ball was against the Saints. That was the most that he ended up having to throw. And look at how many times like this. Only team that ended up upset the San Francisco 49ers that year before last was the Baltimore Ravens because they fit every image that they did. They fit the description of when they was running the ball. They fit the scrimmage description of when they was throwing the ball, especially when it was raining. We was almost the second team to end up even upset the San Francisco 49ers, the second most team. And in that game, Drew Brees was he tortured the secondary for San Francisco. Well, what is San Francisco's secondary going to be like this year? We don't even know yet. I could be very clerical on that one. I'm like very clerical. Because the clerical of the situation and the narrative of this, you could say this right now, Chase. What are some things that the whole every other team in there will need? Like I said once before, I don't think Ben Roethlisberger should never, ever. I don't think he should have never signed that contract. I don't even think the Pittsburgh Steelers should have never let this man sign a contract. And you went undefeated. For no abysmal reason, which I always will say, just because you're going undefeated, that don't mean jack crap right then and there. It doesn't mean nothing unless you end up going to plan on winning the Super Bowl, winning it by going undefeated. And if you cannot do that, don't even bother and try to compete for a Super Bowl. Do not. Because it ain't going to make no sense.
I agree with you there, man. That Pittsburgh situation, that is not a good one. You know, they started out last year. I think they hid a lot of their weaknesses early on in the season. You know, they were undefeated there for a little while, and then, you know, it came down to it. Big Ben, he couldn't throw the deep ball no more. The receivers couldn't get no separation. They were them games were ugly to watch down the stretch.
Literally. Because if I end up thought those games were very stretchful, and I was like this, everybody end up asking me, which team was your laughing stock throughout last season? I said the Falcons. Real simple. Want to know how? Because. And I'm looking over their last, and I'm looking at their schedule from last season. As much as they're my bitter rivals in any other situations, never did like them. I know the city is very decent, and I've never been there, but I just don't like the team in general. That's just me.
Yep.
And this is what their scores was last year, Chase. And hear this out. They lost to Seattle 38-25. You lost to the Cowboys 40-39. You lost to the Bears 30-26. 30-16 to the Packers. 23-16. To the Panthers. I can care less. I mean, you got one win out of Minnesota. You let the Lions even make a comeback with Matthew Stafford, who's now a quarterback for the Rams now. You're lucky you got a win against Carolina on a rematch. You got a win against Denver. You got beaten by us 24-9. 43-6 to the Raiders, which that was a blowout, which you exposed yourself even more. 21-16, 20-17, 31-27, 17-14, and the last game of the season last year, 44-27. That was the year that Dan Quinn was fired.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn ended up got fired in the middle of the season. Last year, he got fired right on the spot because Arthur Blake and them knew enough was enough. And tell me this right then and there, Chase. How the world Dan Quinn is ever going to be as a defensive coordinator, and if he never ran a 4-3 base defense for Dallas, how that gonna work?
Yeah, probably.
Help me.
Probably not great, but you know, sometimes them coordinators, man, them coaches, they are so much better when you know the spotlight will be off of him. So, hey, maybe you know he can spend more time in the lab and they can draw up something. I think a lot of guys just don't handle that pressure, you know, losing and all the press conferences and all of that on a week to week basis, the media, the fans, all of that. So. You know, now he'll have more time to, I guess, sit down, focus on his desk. Yeah, take a step back. It might be good for him.
That's crazy.
But, yeah, man, you know, the NFL, we got a lot to talk about, you know, definitely within the coming months. You know, some more is going to transpire from now until then. But, man, let's get back to these NBA playoffs we got about to, you know.
Ooh, yes. Oh, man. I'm kind of anxious on this one. And I'm going to be upset, and I'm going to be straight with you. There's a point I'm going to mess around and miss the play-in tournament, which we got the play-in tournament this week because you got a 7-8 seed in the Eastern Conference between the Celtics and the Wizards. Only way if the Celtics is going to win, you got to initially will beat this team twice to move on to play in that seventh seed team. And if you beat that same exact same team, you will be the seventh seed. Will have to face the Brooklyn Nets because the Brooklyn Nets end up just clinched the number two seed tonight. We already know Philadelphia clinched the one. Then it's Brooklyn. Then it's the Bucks and the Knicks. They clinched the fourth seed earlier today. Yep, they clinched the fourth seed earlier today. So they're going to have a 4-5. If I remember this here, because I'm end up going through all the lists of who's playing who, what, where.
Yep.
In the whole situation. Now I even tell you this, though. Even though this was the last game of the season and all this other stuff, like the play-in situation, we got the Hornets and the Pacers. This is a 9th versus 10th place seeding. That is the loser of an elimination. Then you got the 7-8 seed. Wednesday in the Western Conference, you got the Spurs and the Grizzlies. In that situation, that's 9th against 10th. The Warriors is initially waiting on how this game is going to go between the Pelicans and the Lakers game, which in the Pelicans was already eliminated.
Yeah, so, I saw the game tonight. They were resting. They had Ingram out. They had all their big guys out. So I think the Lakers should roll with that one. The real question is the Blazers and the Nuggets, because that will decide who the 7th seed is.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Because right now, the Warriors are waiting on the winner of that.
Yeah.
Because if the Lakers initially wins tonight's game against the Pelicans, the Lakers will be the 6th seed team. But if they lose to the Pelicans at some point, if they lose to the Pelicans tonight, then that will mean they will have to face the Warriors to avoid the play-in turn. That was the indication, what I was hearing.
Yeah, and I got a little update on that. Right now, I just checked. The Lakers are up by 11 in the second quarter. And hear me out on this. The Blazers, they are up 50-26 right now in the Nuggets.
Huh.
So it's looking like the Blazers are going to secure that 6th seed and avoid that play-in game.
Well, here's the thing, though. There's an issue with that in that part of that situation. Because if you end up asking what is at stake for, if you was asking what would be at stake for the Trailblazers, because right now, the way I'm looking at this game right now, it's too early right now. It's way too early to call for the Blazers to end up the close, to have secured the 6th seed. Because somebody will have to be the 5th seed. Lakers wins this, that's a wrap. They'll take the 6. That would mean the Trailblazers wouldn't have to mess around and face Golden State in that 7, against 8 place seeding. Because somebody would have had to play against Utah. Somebody will have to play Utah. Somebody's going to have to play Phoenix. Because if you end up asking me for my understanding is, even if Golden State would have made it that far, I could not see them going past Utah. I couldn't see them going past Utah nor Phoenix. I said that the Memphis Grizzlies, I would say that the Golden State Warriors are a playoff team, but I can't see them go any further than that. No. Now, if you had Klay, okay, you could make a deep run out of that. You'll make a deep run in that. But with Curry, Draymond and Wiggins, you might get something. You might get a run for your money situation. But at the same time, no. You're not about to get all that. No, that's out the equation.
No, I agree with you 100% there. I don't see them winning a series this year. I just don't think that the supporting cast is nearly good enough to take down, you know, like you said, a Utah or a Phoenix. It took everything Curry had to get him to this point, to be honest.
Yeah, for him to end up to have a good day today, end up scoring 44 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, almost nearly a triple-double in that game. Even though he took too many three-point attempt shots, but he only averaged no more than 10 threes a game. He averaged that many in the whole season.
Yeah.
And then I'm like this, that is the narrative of it. That is the whole narrative. And like I mentioned before, I'm looking at the scoreboard about the Miami Heat and the Detroit Pistons. The Heat is up 71-49. 71-49, and they been there at the end of the third quarter. Was 86-64 now. 86-64. These dudes are up. The Heat is up by 22 points. I'm like,
the crazy. Yeah. they're resting Butler and Bam and all of them tonight. So,
yeah, you might as well say, you might as well let these reserves. I felt that they should have let the reserves take in the rest of the last three games. You could have rest all your players to the last three games of the season and let your reserves play. Then to get some kind of time in. To get some kind of time in. And like everybody, and it's like I said once before, the Bucks, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks, let's see, because I'm end up seeing this right now, who clinched what where. Because right now, let me see, Philadelphia got home court advantage throughout the postseason. I don't believe they ain't going to go that far. You could scratch that. And to ask you in this question, in this equation right now, Chase, who do you really have as your NBA Finals prediction? That was the question I wanted to ask you.
Yeah. So let's see here. As far as the East goes, you know, we got some great regular season teams. But when it comes to the postseason, I think I'm going to go with the chalk and just put my trust that Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden are going to get there. When they're all together, man, that just sounds unstoppable. Especially if you got Kevin Durant playing health. If Kevin Durant is indeed healthy, you know, James Harden, I know he's coming off an injury. Kyrie, he's a little wishy-washy this year. But, man, when they're all three on the court, I don't see anyone else in that conference being able to slow them down.
So you're obviously saying that the Brooklyn Nets are coming out the Eastern Conference this year.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling. As far as the Western,
who is their biggest threat? Who is their biggest threat to you? That's going to give them competition in that division, in that conference. The team I'm going to end up saying for you that could give them – the team I could tell you that could give them competition, I could throw in a couple of these teams. I could throw in the Bucks. I could throw the Knicks in here. Because how many times I've been hearing people and most people end up in Ravens saying that – everybody has been wanting to see the Knicks and the Nets going toe for toe. How many people do you hear have been raving about that all this year?
I know the media and, you know, sports fans in general, they've been wanting the Knicks to be back for easily a decade now.
Easily a decade.
The
Knicks been out since their first playoff appearance since 2013.
It is crazy.
2013.
It's crazy, man. All the mellow years, just to think that, you know, they couldn't really make any deep runs, and you know, it really doesn't seem like they really made that moves. I know they added Derrick Rose, and I think it really. The big contribution to them, you know, making a run this year. Obviously, they got the new coach this year. And Julius Randle, this man is playing out of his mind this season.
Yeah, he's had played out of his mind. And I'm going to say it like this. I've been raving for this man to end up to get most improved since he got with the Knicks. If this man don't get the recognition of him winning most improved, something is wrong. Something is wrong if you do not get this man most improved player.
No, I agree. I think he's a mortal lock to win that award the way he's been playing.
And I will even throw him in the conversation of all NBA first team. I will throw him in that conversation. He deserves to be an all NBA first team. If you don't even put him in all NBA first team, because there's going to be the point the New York Knicks is going to be throwing money at him.
Yep.
The Knicks are going to start throwing money at this dude because everybody knew. How long did it took for Julius Randle to get to where he wanted to go at. I said this. There's going to be the point that Knicks are going to be throwing money at this guy. Because how many times I didn't see LeBron and Steph, Dame Lillard, everybody, and get these all NBA first teams. How many times I kept seeing them, and they all end up with mega contracts. I didn't see Steph end up going mega contracts because he made all NBA first team. Dame Lillard making all NBA first team. Of course, LeBron ended up took a step backwards that time when he ended up made all third team all NBA. Because when you make all third team NBA, you're not going to get as much as the very first all NBA team. That was the equation of that. But if you don't put Julius Randle in the conversation of all first team NBA, somebody in the committees was smoking something. The committees in them would have been smoking something if you don't put this man in the conversation. This man in Budgen gave you 30 points all season.
I agree. My question is, with this surrounding cast, do you see them being able to win a playoff series? Because I don't think I do.
Depending on the actual opponent, it all depends on the opponent, who they will face.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, really? They're actually facing the Hawks this in the first round. I believe that they might do. I will give the Knicks as far as the second round. I'll give the New York Knicks the closest they'll make us the second round. They'll be a second round exit. Because right now the Atlanta Hawks are more of an inexperienced than the Knicks. I mean, don't get me wrong, Trey Young can end up can shoot the lights out of everybody if he wants to on any given night. He'll get you there and every other way else. But I feel like the advantage of the first round will go to the New York Knicks. Because if the Hawks are end up going to beat the Knicks, who's going to stop Julius Randle from scoring? Who's going to stop him? Who's going to stop who's going to stop R.J. Barrett? And don't let Derrick Rose end up turn himself into 2011 Derrick Rose. Because if he turns himself into that, he's going to go berserk on you. And nobody's not going to control him.
I would love to see that, man. That'd be crazy if D-Rose could push them into a deep playoff run, man. It has been great to see some of these. I mean, I ain't going to lie. I haven't watched a ton of Knicks basketball this year, but I've been keeping up with all the box scores and everything, man. He's been hooping.
Because if you think about it in regulation terms, and all that stuff here. How you put it in good sense? And it's like they said, I end up asking certain people who are fans to the team, who you think is the first team that's going to go beat, who's going to exit it first? I had one former coworker and they said the Boston Celtics is going to be gone first. Because the Boston Celtics is in the whole situation with the Washington Wizards.
Yeah. No, those are definitely some 50-50 series that could go either way. To answer your question though, of what team I think could give the Nets a run for their money, I think it's honestly the Miami Heat.
Oh Lord Jesus. You took the words out of that one.
Jimmy Butler and Bam, man, that's a nasty combination. I think if anyone could do it, they're definitely a tight, defensive group. They're really well coached. I like Eric Spoelstra a lot. So I think if anyone could do it, I think it is the Miami Heat.
Wow, that's crazy. Because the only way if the Miami Heat will get this, and I'm not too concerned about Jimmy Butler nor Bam Adebayo, I want to see if the dragon himself, Goran Dragic, could go back to his scoring ways. If Dragic goes back to his scoring ways, there will be the point the dragon will do the ultimate takeover. Because there wouldn't be no other situations. There's no ways of the narrative. Most people could say this and say that all they need to. Because somebody's going to got to say this at some point and at some narrative. You and they'll have to know at any given moment, at any given time, somebody's going to be hungry that's end up going to take down one of these top two, top three seeds. Because right now, and it's like they say right now, now that the Philadelphia 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets will end up having to wait on who they will play who. Because luckily enough, because if you think about this right now, between the Sixers and the Jazz, they both have home court advantage throughout the postseason, unless somebody end up upsets them. And if you end up asking me about this whole play-in tournament stuff, there's going to be the point the Washington Wizards is then going to beat the Boston Celtics. We might as well agree to this one, Chase, because Russ will go in triple-double mode. Bradley Beal is going to be scoring out of his mind because he's going to turn into an assassin, and the Celtics are they put themselves in a banged-up situation. They just limped into the playoffs hurt. They've been battling injuries all year long. And without the presence of Jaylen Brown, without the presence of him, that's a wrap.
No, I agree. I don't see them being able to get past. Even if they manage to limp into the playoffs, I don't see them winning a series with that roster they got.
No, because Brown and Tatum was their best two scorers. And now that Tatum will end up having to generate and lead the team a certain way, Jason Tatum only could do so much. Just because you have him, that ain't enough for him. Because you don't have the acquisition of Jaylen Brown, who had an issue with his non-shooting hand, which he broke his wrist on his non-shooting hand, and he's going to be without basketball activities for at least 3 months. 3 months right then and there. Because if that was his shooting hand, oh, he'd have been looking at no more than somewhere between 6 to 12. He'd have been looking at 6 to 12. He'd be looking between half the year and a full year if that was his shooting hand.
Yeah,
he's
definitely fortunate for that. So my question to you, the Eastern Conference, who do you see making it to the finals out of there?
Finals. In all fairness and honesty, I believe this is the year that the Brooklyn Nets have a lot to prove. Because I really won't see what the acquisition is, because I didn't hear LeBron end up saying, I want my rematch with KD. If you ask for my finals prediction right now, I want the Brooklyn Nets to face the Los Angeles Lakers. I want KD against LeBron. Because LeBron is going to feel some kind of way. And KD knows that he is on the clock. LeBron and got KD on the clock for him to win the next ring against him. He got him on the clock now. He got him against the back wall. Because KD has been trying to find himself on the precedence of, because, you know, it's not that simple to end up to recover from a ruptured Achilles and everything else, and it had to take you some kind of time to find yourself in those particular situations. It was not that simple. And I hated the simple fact that Klay Thompson end up fell in that situation. 1 minute, he torn his ACL in game 6 against the Raptors. I'm pretty sure if that was, that was in 2019 and all this other stuff. Then he was on his way to end up to make a comeback from that ACL tear. Next thing you notice, I'm hearing the news and reports from Adrian Ron Jaworski that he, and the next thing you know, he ruptured, he torn his Achilles. He torn and ruptured his Achilles. Caused him to end up to be out for back-to-back seasons. This is the first time that Klay Thompson has never, and I say, I never ever saw Klay Thompson ever be out for multiple seasons. Klay Thompson has never missed a game like that.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Them injuries are, they will definitely do that to you. Them Achilles are scary.
Yeah, I mean, as far as ACL tears and everything else, ACLs are the most common injury.
Yeah.
Those are the most common injuries if you end up thinking about that, if you end up asking me about that in that whole situation right then and there. So, my thing is right then and there, because I know we end up got about a good over less than over 4 minutes left in this conversation right then and there and all that stuff right then and there, because I know you're the actual host and everything else in that particular situation. Break down how you think the first round is then going to be between the East and the Western Conference.
All right, let me get it all pulled up for me. I know we talked about, we said Knicks and but Knicks and Hawks. I personally, I see the Hawks moving on in that one. I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever. You know, we talked about what it's going to take. It's going to take Randall. It's going to take that supporting cast, D. Rose, R.J. Barrett stepping up. But I just think Clint Capella, Trae Young, I say, man, they're solid this year. I know they're normally really good in the regular season, the Hawks, and then they just disappoint in the playoffs. I don't see that. I see them getting past them in the first round. Obviously, as far as the – we already touched about the Celtics. I don't think they're getting past the first round. I think the Bucks and the Sixers, I think they're both good for the second round. But I don't see – man, them two teams, they're always so consistent, it seems like, in the regular season. And then when it matters most, whether it's the Sixers losing to the Raptors and Kawhi in the playoffs, it seems like the Bucks lose every year in the playoffs, man. It's just, I don't see them making a deep run. I don't see them getting past Brooklyn either. So, I see both of them advancing to the second round, but I just don't see that deep of a run from either one of them.
Yeah, because if you end up thinking about this here, in that particular situation, we already end up going to have a rematch between the Bucks and the Heat from last year. Because last time I checked, the Miami Heat end up had the Milwaukee Bucks on the brink of elimination. They had them on the brink of elimination, and I watched that series last year when Miami was up 3-0. And the Greek Freak himself, regular season MVP and defensive player of the year, all that in the same season at that particular time, went down on a bad foot. And the only person that ended up saving them to survive another game was Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton saved the Bucks last year to avoid the sweep. And I believe that time last year, I felt that Miami should never took their foot off the gas. They took their foot off the gas on the Bucks that year. They took them off the gas right then and there during the second round. You should have never, ever do that. That's the first valuable lesson. Do I think the Miami Heat didn't learn this valuable lesson that's coming into this playoff season? Yes. If they sweep these guys again, which I doubt it, that series between the Heat and the Bucks, that series should go 7 games.
Oh, for sure. It's going to be tough. If anyone can, anyone I think can make a run at Brooklyn, I think it is the Miami Heat. So,
Presence?
I agree. Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, I think they're good coaching. I think no one can really elevate it takes a particular skill set to be able to elevate your teammates like Jimmy Butler can. So I know he ain't playing with no bums or nothing, but you know he can definitely, he's gonna put, you know, you're gonna get your all every single night out of Jimmy Butler, and that's
literally, yeah. Literally, because how you end up, it's like how you end up make the total sense of the presence of that to the whole, for the whole formality of that situation is. That situation of that determines is, you got to determine who really end up want this more. So I will say this the same exact same way in the Western Conference right then and there. As of right then and there. Like everybody in the city, there's the Jazz, there's the Suns, there's the Nuggets, there's the Clippers, and then there's the Mavericks, and then there's Portland. In any of those situations. There's any of those typical situations right then and there. Because right now, the Portland Trailblazers are the sixth seed.
Yep.
But they would have need the Lakers to lose the game. They would have need the Lakers to lose that game the same way the Lakers would need the Trailblazers to lose. They would have need the Trailblazers to lose that game to the Nuggets. Because if the Nuggets end up beat them, the Lakers will be the sixth seed. And then the Trailblazers would have to mess around and play against the Warriors to the seventh seed. And if you end up asking me who will end up win that 7-6, that 7-8 seed team, I would end up giving the seventh seed to the Portland Trailblazers. Because everybody's gonna know Dame is gonna come at Steph. Dame Lillard's going to come at Steph.
That's definitely true. That'd be a heck of a series for sure.
That'd be a heck of a series because if Lillard's going to – I'm saying if Steph's going to score, Dame's then going to give him back-to-back. He's going to come at him. They're going to come at each other's necks. Problem, I might score over 40 or 50 points at each other's throat. There's no ifs, ands in that particular situation because how you end up look at it right then and there is, I'm sick inside of certain people, keep snubbing Dame Lillard. You just snubbed Dame Lillard out of the All-Star game so many doggone times because of popularity. Popularity shouldn't even play in the All-Star game. Popularity shouldn't even play in it.
No, I agree, and I think, you know, them being in Portland, speaking, you know, the Western Conference, man, I sort of feel the same way about teams like the Jazz and the Suns as I do about the Sixers and the Bucks. Like, you know, they might be atop the conference right now, but I just don't see them being able to, when it matters most and when these guys are having to go up against players like LeBron James and Kevin Durant, I don't see them, like, don't get me wrong, all four of those teams, you know, the top two teams in the East, the top two teams in the West, they're both, you know, they're all well coached. They got depth, but I just don't see them in the clutch moments being able to beat those key players. You know, I agree with you 100%, man. I really hope we do get to see the Lakers and Nets because that's what I'm feeling. And it would honestly shock me if we saw anything else.
Trust me. People have been raving about this whole Nets and Lakers situation because everybody knows that Kevin Durant is at the typical point of the clock. When the time started it, from the time that he was making his return, when he started making his return, KD knew that he was on the clock. I ain't never judged Kevin Durant from the way of his scoring. We all know Kevin Durant is still a lethal scorer. We know he is. We know he's a lethal scorer. We know James Harden is. We know Kyrie is. I'm saying is, Brooklyn will be just fine without Kyrie in the first round. Everybody knows that. Whoever Brooklyn is playing as a 7 seed, which I'm going to say is going to be Washington. I believe this. The Brooklyn Nets are going to get past whoever they play in the first round in the West, in the Eastern Conference playoff. They're going to be fine without Kyrie. Kyrie might make a comeback between either the second to almost to the Eastern Conference final.
Yeah, they have Harden and Durant out there, both healthy. They'll be just fine.
And don't forget the acquisition. Also forget the acquisition of Blake Griffin too.
That's true. He has been hooping.
Yes, because those two has had their own moments. And I know James Harden was out because of injury management.
Yep.
Yeah, he was out tonight with injury management. Now, when you end up saying low management, there's injury management.
Yeah.
But I'm like, say who?
I said, that's definitely, I think they use, you know, that to get it by the NBA, you know. That's sort of the words they use when they want to arrest some people now, I feel like.
Yeah, because I think the way how they wanted to arrest their players in any other form, shape, or fashion to do everything else, you got to say to yourself here, everything's got to be worthy at some point of it. And I want to end up to throw some stuff at you right then and there with the point of, let me see, how can I end up make this? What was your actual thought of J. Cole making his pro hoops debut in the African League? Actual rapper J. Cole.
Yeah, I saw that. That man, he's wilding out there. You never know what he's going to get into, man. It's crazy.
I knew that J. Cole hooped. I mean, it was not bad for him to end up to have, 3 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 17 minutes of playing. And everything else. And then this man just dropped an album. How do you drop an album and playing in the African League?
No, he's just living life right now, man. It's crazy.
I could tell if you end up asking me can J. Cole really could play in the NBA at this particular level, he might can. People gonna be too turned up and gonna be like, how you gonna manage this? How you gonna manage between playing in the league and they're dropping music all at once? he might could do.
It's possible.
It's literally possible. I could be assured of that.
No, I understand there for sure, man. It's crazy.
Because I'm like, man, it's ridiculous.
Oh man, I know Sports Center loved it. They were showing his highlights, every pass he made, every triple. They were fired up, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, it had to have been turned up. I feel like certain teams need to give J. Cole some kind of a tryout.
It'd be funny for sure.
It'll be fun though, right then and there. But I'm not sure. But I don't think that they. I don't think J. Cole wouldn't give up his rap career to end up to play ball. He just probably figured he just wants to play ball just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
That's what I look at.
Yeah, me too.
Man. I can't believe this has been one of these hell of a conversations that we haven't had in over 4 of those years. In any other form, shape, or fashion. And everything else, I'm like, I'm excited about the NBA playoffs and everything else. Plus, football seasons, and they're going to be just right around the corner in the next 3 months and everything else and all this other stuff. And give me final – and I was like, give me final predictions and everything else right then and there. Who's playing the Philadelphia – who's playing the 76ers? Who's playing the Nets? Coming out the 7-8 seed.
Oh, let's see. So, yeah, I agree with you about the Wizards. I think they will make it to the first round. I think they will get beat. As far as the the other game goes, man, I think if the Pacers are healthy, I think they could definitely give whoever they – if they can get past this play-in game, you know, Sabonis, if they got Brogdon out there, if they got LeVert, I think they can make some noise in the first round, give someone a decent battle. So I think, you know, if they can get past, is it the Hornets they play in their play-in?
Yeah, it's the Pacers and the Hornets. It's a ninth and tenth seed.
Yeah,
it's a ninth and tenth.
I think the Pacers can can make some noise, man. LeVert, he's a hooper. Sabonis has been playing. He's been playing lights out this year. He's an all-star this year. So, I don't know, man. There's definitely going to – I think there's going to be some challenges in the early rounds of the playoffs. But I think the at the end of the day, the chalk will prevail. I think it will be Lakers-Nets. And I think we're in for a heck of a playoff series for sure.
Oh, yeah. That will be something. That's going to be something that we going to end up have these discussions on and what's going to be the input on this to all the other narratives and the whole situations and everything else. That's going to be a conversation that we are now going to need to have right then and there. That's going to be something. That's going to be no why I can tell you what you can do, Chase. Hold that conversation. And when that time, when you end up get to that conversation at some point in the time, you can mark this on the calendar on whatever day it is. Whatever day it is that we have this conversation, mark this on your calendar. And once you end up mark this on this calendar and we saw what we end up watch, let's brainstorm that situation. And once we end up brainstorm that situation on the matter of hand in that typical situation, so all that, we'll just come up with it. We're just going to go at it from punchline after punchline, from storyline to storyline, and to determine what happened, what this team did to end up to get to the extraordinary level.
Oh, for sure, man. I'm wait to see what happens in these, you know, these next coming weeks, man. We'll definitely link up. We'll try to make this a weekly occurrence or something like that.
Literally. It's been a hell of a conversation with you and everything else. I know we kind of went a little bit over past the timing to the situation because we have to get very accurate with the whole situation because we all been rusted in a lot of ways, and it's been a while.
Oh, for sure, man. Yeah, we'll definitely link up next time. But man, Earl, I appreciate you hopping on with me today, and we'll touch base and we'll do this again soon, very soon.
Oh yes, sir. Take it easy and end up have a good night and take it easy on the week. Don't work yourself too much.
I hear you. Same for you, man. God bless. Peace out.
You too. Later.